Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon from North Central Wisconsin, and welcome to the Sandy Bob Show. I am Sandy Staling, and I am here with my husband, Bob Staling. Today, it is Tuesday, March 5th, 2019, and we have another brisk and bitterly cold day here in Wisconsin. Today, we're waiting for our guest, Nog, but we're also going to have on the show Dwayne Heppner, the great writer, and Claudie, the new seer from Texas. So I'm just going to start with a little something here until we have Nog come on. The old days of masters, gurus, kings, queens, and all other authorities are gone, as their light is only the astral light of secondary knowledge and nothing more. They can still be seen on planet Earth with their ancient wisdom and old traditions, but what they represent has no meaning whatsoever with the whole life is, the all is. The old invented gods and saviors are creations in the five multi-dimensions of creation, which are the physical, astral, causal, mental, and etheric, and have always been a marketing ploy to the unaware masses with worshiping and prayer that circulates in reincarnation, creation only. Let me see here. Is he on yet? I'll continue with a little bit here. What Paul Twitchell brought out in 1965 as the Rod of Power had its presence then in creation and the whole life is. Paul used the contemplation idea to start people off so as to consider more than just their everyday life and that of the common religious and spiritual things that had been around for many centuries. The real universal guides at that time were known as masters. And Paul was to start somewhere with what would later emerge as the new now is life is. Like meditation, contemplation is a consideration to get something from the spiritual world, such as blessings, spiritual growth, out-of-body experience, and so on, which are in the multi-dimensions of creation, all in the lower worlds. All this is fine, but there is a lot more that was not covered back then by Paul Twitchell because it was not time yet. Dwayne Heppner stepped into the real Rod of Power in 2001, and he was shown to present the is. First attempts to present the is were that of a child, as Paul referred to him as like that of a child. As Paul referred to him, The real guides also asked Dwayne to change the identity of the real Rod of Power. So as 2007 came along, Dwayne made it the new wave is. In 2007, the is then became the all is. And today, the all is, the new nowness of the true reality of the allness, all is, because most unaware people have been indoctrinated with a certain way, and they want to hang on to the old ways of doing what they have known. Very few will take the risk and learn to see what is real now. Paul's approach in his time here was that of a literalized approach, and is more than evident as to how the existing members of the Joni Takeover Corporation and that of other spiritual religions consider themselves and operate. This is all fine, as it is always a choice. The whole life is has nothing to do with the invented systems as they have been created and considered in creation. Those who are of these systems are tap-lined and hooked to the lower astral realm with the reptilian alien tap-liners known as the rats who control this planet Earth. Contemplation is to consider ideas that have been created, and the isness, life is, can only be seen with the real you when it is recognized for what it is. Excuse me. We have Nog on the phone now?
Yeah, he's on the show.
Nog, welcome. Are you there, Nog? Hello? Are you on mute or on your phone at all? He's on. Check your volume and your mute button on your phone, Nog.
On your computer,
if you have, or if it's a phone. I don't know which you have. Are you there, Nog? Hello? Are you there? Nog? Okay. Is Claudia there?
Yes.
Hi, Claudia. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you.
Yes. Why do you think there are so many people afraid to share what they're learning here with the All Is and the new you?
Because today's society all around the world has been indoctrinated in certain procedures. In the religious sense, some societies demand a certain obedience to a leader and that they follow certain protocols, which are not always expansive enough to allow the freedom to explore. So we become indoctrinated into being respectful, to bowing and worshiping in traditional religions. Some religions don't require that. They allow a certain amount of freedom to explore and find out for yourself. As we go along in life, we become aware by waking up to seeing what's going on around us. Some types of countries have very strict government protocols and laws that they require their citizens to follow. Some countries have freedom, but if we're in a particular strict religious organization, we have to follow those rules. It leaves one to the point where, okay, I'll just follow this. I don't see anything better out there. I've been brought up in this religion or in this country, and I do what the rest of the people do because I don't want to be ostracized from the society I live in. As we go along and we read and become aware in this planet of others' investigation, we start looking around and maybe we notice some difference. And then noticing that difference, we can expand our life to see the point of others' investigation. Curiosity is a most wonderful part of our lives. To be able to be curious about stuff and going on is one of the most, to me, enjoyable freedoms we have. It sometimes can lead into trouble, but most of the time, if you're careful, you can find out more information about where you live, what's going on, becoming aware of how our planet is functioning, and also to see what other people on the planet are doing. Some people are doing not so good things, possibly polluting the air, polluting the water, changing our food from where it was before. Scientists learn how to manipulate genes and change our food source. It's very sad to see so many people on the planet starving when it doesn't need to be. That doesn't need to happen. We have enough resources where we can take care of ourselves. But if we have a law or a corporation that is interested in its own agenda, then we're suffering. That's why today for me, looking into the all is one of those opportunities, a very rare opportunity that is given to us from the all is to gain freedom. One of the most precious things we possess on this planet is our freedom. Right now, some people only have the freedom to think or not speak or not explore. It is a natural part of ourselves to find out more about who we are, where we came from, why we're here, and what can be done about our situation to make it better. Mr. Nog is going to give us his explorations and what's going to happen in his life with his protocol. A new way to meet somebody with a different viewpoint. Is this
Thank you, Claudia. Right now we have Nog who called in on Skype. So I'm kind of wondering what we can do to get him through to the show. Is Kelsey there?
I'm talking to Nog.
I know.
He's waking up. He's got a poor internet connection.
Okay, Nog right now
Hi,
has
Sandy.
A poor internet connection and is breaking up. So he did call in on Skype, so I'm not sure how that works.
Sandy, this is Henry. You're talking to the Nag on Skype, you can send him the link to this show, not the link to the call in or anything, just the link to the show to listen live. And if he clicks that link, he can click a Skype button so that he can call in via Skype. That's another option. I send him the link on Facebook. So he can click it that on Facebook Messenger there, and then there's a little box.
You're breaking up.
We have some technical issues here, I think, going on.
You're breaking up now.
Can he click in on the link?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah,
Nog. But we need to. Did you get the link that Henry sent you? Oh boy.
We can barely hear you.
It's breaking up, Nog.
It says there's a poor network connection on your end.
Yeah, 1 minute, I'll say.
Okay. Did he get the link that Henry sent? We're still.
Can you move your computer, your connection, in a different room?
Should we?
Okay.
We're just trying to bring him in.
He's on the talk show.
He said he called the link.
I opened all the doors and windows and I'm seeing where the connection is best available, actually.
Okay, I don't understand him.
Well, we see
okay,
okay, Sandy, tell Nag
yes.
That I sent him another link and from Kelsey's Skype account. So if he goes to his Skype messages from Kelsey, there's another link he can try, and there's a Skype button from that link that will prompt that says like call in via Skype, so you can click that and see if that works.
There is another link on Kelsey's Facebook or Skype. Skype, you said.
Skype. Yeah, Skype.
You're on. You keep breaking up.
We can't understand him. He's breaking up a lot.
All right. You're on a computer over there, right? Can you move your computer to a different room or move your wireless or adjust the antenna on your wireless or whatever you have?
He's got to click the link.
He's relying on internet connection from a cell tower. So
internet
if he can maybe go outside.
Maybe if he goes outside? Well, now you've lost him totally.
Yep.
Gone totally. Okay, everyone. Sorry about that.
He's still connected to the internet, though.
He's connected to the internet, but not.
He should be able to hear you on the phone if he's there.
Can you hear me on the phone, Nog? Here you talk to him. Okay. Okay. Well, let's see. We have to. Should we maybe talk about something else here?
Call Nog.
Or should?
Nog, are you there?
Okay, he's back. He's trying to call in.
Nog, can you hear me?
Not quite. What?
No, not quite connected yet.
Not quite connected, but he is calling. Sorry about this, everyone. Far away places. Is he's online?
No, isn't.
Is not online. Okay. Claudie.
What's the new link? What's the other link you can try?
Yes. Henry, what's the other link that Nog can try? With him talking and Bob and you, I didn't understand. What's the link?
It's the link to the show. So it's an any topic. I also send it to him in private message on Skype and on Facebook.
Well, he has all those. That's what he connected with.
No, he connected with a link that I created for him for his email, where he just types in his email. It's like a private link for people to call in from overseas. But the other option is if you click the link to listen live to the show, then there's a button. It says on air, call in to speak with the host, 563-999-3509, and then there's a Skype button to the right of all that, and you can click that and call in via Skype. So that's the other option that he hasn't tried yet. Because it says he's in the studio right now under the email link, which isn't working.
But
he could try without the email and just with Skype. Maybe that would work.
Okay, do you have his Skype address? I just was Skyping him, and then I lost. We had a very poor connection. He was breaking up, and I was breaking up trying to talk to him. But could you message him what you're telling me directly on a Skype? You know, you have a Skype address?
Yeah, I've messaged him on Skype and on Facebook with the link.
And it's also publicly in any topic.
Mm-hmm. So now, I don't know, he's not either online on Facebook or Skype right now. So.
Right, he got kicked off.
Yeah.
I was connected to him, and then he got kicked off.
Yeah, sounds like he's having some connection issues.
Well, that was it. It said poor internet connection all the time I was connected to him on Skype. Well, what we'll do is we'll just go ahead. We'll try to sort this out. I'll try to sort it out on the side, and you guys can continue the topic of the day. So you probably want to edit a lot of this out when you edit this recording. So I'll continue trying to work with him and try to get a hold of him. And so I'll give it back to Sandy so you guys can continue the topic at hand.
Okay, thank you. Hopefully we'll get connected. Claudia, you're still there?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to ask you another question here. And why are so many people, do you think, afraid to share what they know?
It's a very sensitive subject, the all is, because it requires a person to be brave enough to want to speak about it, a most personal thing, with some stranger. A lot of times, if we're in a good mood, we don't mind. If we're not tired or hungry or sick or whatever. Sometimes, though, if we open our hearts, we can allow ourselves to be free enough to say, yes, I want to know more about the all is. I want to be able to recognize it in my everyday life. I want to be able to become aware of its presence. And to do that, we have to change our focus from outside of ourselves in well, concerning our job or our home life or our school life or whatever. If one were maybe a baker, their focus is you have to get up early in the morning, get the flour, eggs or whatever to make your bread to sell in the shop later on in the day. If one was a soldier, you'd be getting up and checking your equipment. If one was a doctor, you would be on call to help somebody who's ill or hurt or injured. If you're just a mother or a housewife, you'd be tending to your family. That would be the focus of your life during the day. Whereas if you're curious about the all is, you want to see where the all is in each activity that you're doing, from combing your hair or brushing your teeth or fixing your breakfast, maybe having some tea or something like that. In Japan and China, they have high emphasis on properly making tea. And yes, is there? Hello.
Hello. I hate to interrupt again.
No, it's okay.
But I have a loud and clear. I have a loud and clear signal here with Nag, and and he's connected to Skype with me loud and clear. He gave up on that other form, and now we have a good connection. But can you say once again, Kelsey, how you connect, how he connects to the program through the Skype link you were talking about that you sent him?
Yeah, so this is Henry, and I sent Nag on a private Skype message from Kelsey's Skype account, and it says the Sandy Bob Show, and it has like a photo of like two little kids walking along a path, and he just has to click that, and then he'll come to the Blog Talk Radio page, and it will say
looking,
the Sandy Bob Show on
yep,
here.
Hang on, he's looking it up. Hang on.
I will try that now.
Okay, go ahead and try that and see what happens.
Okay.
Okay, Nagar, have you come through?
Yeah, he's got to click the Skype button, and then come up in the studio where you see it, Bob. The Skype button is
Nagar,
on the link.
Okay, when he clicks on your link, there's a button for Skype, and then what? For the talk show?
Yeah.
Henry?
And then I'm guessing he'll have to, like, hang up on Skype with you. He probably can't be on two calls
at
once.
He already did hang up with
me. Okay, well, then when it works, you'll see on the studio, it'll come up with a +1111111111 number, and that will be a Skype caller.
Okay, do I need to hang up his one that's on here for him to get through? Is that
maybe
affecting anything?
That possibly could be affecting
something.
All right,
I'll hang up on that one. All right, so he goes into that link, and then he clicks on, and that he has a window that says click on Skype or click on the Blog Talk Radio Show.
Yeah, it says on air. I can send him a screenshot. It says on air and then call him to speak with the host. And there's a Skype button. And you just click it.
Okay, well, that's what he needs to know. I was trying to get you to cover that whole thing, and I was trying to walk him through it. But then he hung up, and when he found the link, he didn't hear the rest of the message. He hung up before I guess he didn't get the part about clicking on the connect to the whatever you were saying. But I mean, can you Skype him directly and tell him all that?
Yeah, I'm messaging him on Skype.
Okay, all right. Well, sorry about all these interruptions, everybody. we tried really hard to get a hold of Nog at 11:30 this morning, our time, and it's taken this long just to get a hold of him, and I was afraid something like this might happen. So we had, on the first attempt, he had a very poor internet connection, and so we'll see if this goes through. All right, well, Claudia, I'll give it back to Sandy, and you guys can try to continue on.
Would you continue, please, Claudia?
Yes, ma'am. I don't quite remember where I left off, but I can say a little bit about the situation that we're experiencing right now with the phone connection. Things in everyday life sometimes go awry, and we can't move forward or progress in the endeavor we're working on. Right now, we're trying to connect with a phone in India, several miles away from California. And all we want to do is talk about the All Is, and we all notice how much trouble we're having, which sort of represents some affair of our affairs that have trouble, and we're trying to work with it. In the new presentation that Duane Hepner has presented to the world, a help is offered. And it's simple. It's a simply singing the new you in the middle of the situation. It sometimes rearranges the events in the universe to allow the communication between two people who want to talk about the All Is to go forward. It's very easy to do. You just kind of like sit down or lay down or just find a private moment for yourself, and you sing new you. One that calms you down and helps you release the frustration feeling from yourself, and it brings a certain amount of quiet, calm, and peace. And as these feelings evolve, you're able to reach a state where whatever's supposed to happen will happen. Sometimes things are out of our control. Go ahead.
Hello? Did I lose you?
No, I thought someone said something.
Nog is calling our Skype again, and he was just telling me. So I'm not sure exactly. Well, we kind of know what's going on. But go ahead, Claudie.
Like we're experiencing, sometimes there are negatives that are present in the midst of our lives. And they do everything they can to disrupt our smooth progress. The All is a most wonderful, powerful, exciting adventure. And to seek it out and to explore it personally gives one a chance to open up their lives to become more aware of that which is. The All is. It just is. And how do you find just is when you're doing your homework? Or how do you find just is when you're driving your car? You sing the new you, and you listen internally. You listen inside. You kind of look around and see what is there that is a benefit to others, a help. And sometimes help comes to you in the most interesting ways. Possibly when you sing the new you and you ask a question before you go to sleep at night, sometimes you have a dream that provides the answer to the question. Or maybe you meet someone at work or in a coffee shop and you hear the answer to the question you have. Your questions are always answered immediately. but we do not recognize them immediately. So sometimes it takes a while before the answer is understood or noticed. And it requires us to give our attention to the all is, which is simply that which is ourselves, our very existence in this most wonderful creation that we live in that has terrible consequences from the acts humans do to each other and to the planet they live on. We all live on the planet Earth, yet at the same time, we're not always aware of what we're doing. You have to be responsible enough to see, oh, if I throw oil on the ground, this is not good. If I throw oil in the ocean, it muddies the water. If I fly a plane in a plane, the exhaust from the plane makes the atmosphere dusty or dirty. So some point in time we may think, well, maybe I'll seek a different way to travel about. Maybe there's somebody who's come up with an invention that can clean the air, clean the ocean, help the food become more viable for our bodies. Instead of eating so much sugar, maybe we could have fruit or vegetables. It is a time and an opportunity for us to change our lives, but we have to individually wish to do that. Hopefully, someday we'll get to that point. Everybody has a different idea of what is best for them or their family, their loved ones, their children. Every time we eat something that's good for our body, we receive a gift of better health. And so as we go along in life, every moment, from the time we open our eyes in the morning to the time we close our eyes at night, we can explore, find out what the all is about, try to recognize it in whatever we're doing, and then become aware of the presence on a continual basis. It's easy to do. You just send a new you session and go about your business during the day. And through that activity, you become aware of the subtle differences in your life, transforming something from a mess to a very good outcome. It's hoped that this outcome of this experience, trying to connect to somebody in India, will show a benefit, and we'll be able to see in action what's going on. So as we go along in life, it's an opportunity. I highly recommend singing New You, You, and finding good within yourself and the place you're in, no matter how difficult it is. Excuse me, is there someone there?
Let's see if he hooked in. I'm basically in another room right now. So did you get him?
I call him, he doesn't answer.
Something. He's not there yet, so.
He must be trying to figure out what we're talking about. I mean.
Okay. I guess not there yet, so. Is there anyone else who would like to comment about anything that we've been talking about to share? Nobody. Okay. Can I ask you another question, Claudie?
Please.
Okay. Why do you think the knowledge of the all is kept hidden?
It's simple. It's too disturbing for too many people. It would require us to step up and take responsibility for our lives. When you think about the all is and things become disruptive, like this morning's adventure trying to connect with a phone in India, it's most frustrating, and we get discouraged sometimes and just walk away. We're not going to do anything about it. So, yes, all right, you agree with that for a moment, and then you get to the point where you say, I wonder what else I can do. Maybe I can talk to somebody else, because the person in front of you may not want to talk about the all is or see where there is a difference in their lives, in their activities. I'm being very general and vague here because if you get...
Was that Nog? No. Somebody chimed in or...
Everybody's got me on mute unless they're talking.
Okay. All right. We're trying to figure this out here, Claudia. Please keep going.
So when Dwayne came forward or stepped up to present what he has become aware of in the all is and to share it with all the people that he comes into contact and meet, some people are happy to hear him. Some people are not happy. They're most frightened. And when you get frightened, you shy away, you run away, or you just slip away. For Dwayne to sit down and talk to you about the all is, it offers you an opportunity to explore freedom, no restrictions. In the all is, everything is as free as the air we breathe. Although sometimes we'd be coughing from the air we breathe because of its pollution. But the all is there. The all is in the sunlight that you go outside and enjoy. As long as the sunlight's not too intense or it's never there, it's difficult to enjoy sunlight. Sunlight has no agenda. It just gives. It gives the benefit of life, giving warmth, light to see in the daytime. When we become like the sunlight, we just give of ourselves to the environment we live in. We offer an opportunity for the all is to present itself through our activities. Maybe you go out and you walk in the forest. You feel the vibrations of the forest. It's life-giving oxygen to see the beautiful greenery, the grasses, the trees. In California, where Dwayne lives, there are trees that are hundreds of years old and very tall, hundreds of feet tall. And if you look at those trees and you feel their warmth or their vibration, I guess you could say, you become aware of another form of life. And sometimes you get an interaction. Maybe you spot a beautiful flower looking at you. The flower is looking at you. You may say, oh, that's just a flower. It doesn't have any life. Yes, it has life and it has awareness. Then you may look at something like an animal moving about, maybe a deer or a bunny, or a small kitty, a kitten, a dog. Everything that's moving in the planet is in creation. Everything outside of creation is the all is. It's like the sunshine continually giving of itself. It doesn't have an agenda. It doesn't matter if it shines on a really nice person or an evil person. It still gives. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't do anything. It just shines. That's the most accurate example of what the all is. We live in creation, we see what's going on, and we experience both good and bad in our lives, and it leads us to more awareness and knowledge. Knowledge is very good, but it's not what the all is. You have to go and look for it for yourself, and it's an adventure. And it leads you to more adventures. And as you move along in life, you get to the point where you're either frustrated sometimes or you're completely at peace, aware, and feeling good about things. A walk by the ocean, being in a rainstorm, seeing lightning flash, feeling rain on your face, these are all examples of what the all is, but it's not the all is. The closest to it is sunlight. There's a famous song by a singer, I Feel Sunlight on My Shoulders. It's the most wonderful opportunity. As the night changes into day, we have dawn, where it's just starting to break. The darkness is being chased away, and the full day comes into view, so that we can go about our lives and see what's going on. Every chance we get to become aware of the all is, which is very hard to at times describe to somebody. Oh, is this God? No, it's not God. It's beyond that. We don't have gods in our day now in the new you presentation, because that was a time of the past. Just like we don't have to walk, we can drive a car. We can fly in the air. That was before the 1800s. We all had the opportunity to walk wherever we wanted to go or ride a horse. That was the only means of transportation. Now we have new vehicles. Some are electric, and they don't pollute. So we may choose to buy an electric car or a car that runs on water or some other kind of device that doesn't pollute. Everything in the planet is up to us to choose. To have the freedom to choose gives impetus in our lives.
Ava?
It's, yes?
That's all right. We'll record him later. It's fine.
Hi, Dwayne.
Okay. Am I there?
Dwayne. Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, we're still having fun with the phones today. Evidently, what Mr. Nog wanted to talk about today, the all is, was the most wonderful subject. It was being squelched. It's being stopped from being presented. This is the negative forces at work in our lives, sending us on a new direction. So here we go. We're all sharing. And at the same time, we're listening. And this is part of the activity of becoming aware and awake to what the all is. It's movement. It's not movement. It's complete silence. It's sound. It's opposites. It's all the opposites that we see in life. And yet, here it is, the best example of the all is the sun shining. Go out and look at it, feel it on your body, and miss it at night when it's dark, sometimes stormy, but sometimes fun and enjoyable, like maybe going to a dance and hearing music of the most wonderful kind. Music is the most wonderful opportunity for us to experience different frequencies and vibrations in our lives. The frequencies and vibrations of our senses is what gives us awareness of where we are and what we're doing. In some instances, an example of a dog whistle is pertinent. Some people can hear it. Some people cannot. You blow the dog whistle, the dog can hear it and will come. But a human can't hear it. Same thing with the frequency of our eyes. Sometimes we can see certain frequencies, but most of the time the human body is not capable of seeing all the frequencies that are available in the light spectrum. Some lights are above the red, some lights above the blue. We cannot see them. But a cat can see certain frequencies. We all know that flying at night emit a sound, an echo, and they can learn where they're located, where they're flying, if they're moving into too fast towards a rock or a tree or something that would stop its flight. As we go along, we learn to see things. We feel with our senses. We feel the warmth of the sunlight. We feel the cold of snow, so that it's just a chilling experience. Where Sandy and Bob are right now, it's very cold. They're having extreme weather. Again, something for us to observe, see what we can figure out from it. Every time we get a chance to explore our life, to see what's there, what makes sense. If it makes sense in our life, we're on the right path. What doesn't make sense is what people do to destroy themselves and the planet they live in. We only have this one planet that we are on at the moment. And it seems that there are many people who are busy, very busy, polluting it, destroying it. Fires and volcanoes are erupting. Tsunamis occur in the ocean because the Earth is moving and changing about. Some people, myself included, feel that the Earth is sentient and able to express itself, but we can't hear it. It may express itself through the movement of rock or plates in the ground, in the crust of itself. We have so much opportunity to see what we can't, what we don't ordinarily know. Knowledge is great. It's a wonderful thing. The more you know about things, the more you become enlightened, so to speak. But it's not everything. There's more to life than just what's in front of us, just eating, going to work, and being enslaved in that activity, because you have to eat and you need shelter and you have to take care of your family if you have a family, and you have to go to work. And it's good to have a good job, but if you have a terribly hard job, it's most defeating to the person. So here we go with an opportunity. Can we change it? Can we have better in our lives? Is there a benefit to helping the earth become clean? Is there a benefit to helping children see more than what's being taught in a school through rote memory or in teachings in the school that may not be correct and is opposite? This way we're led along down the path and forced, in a sense, to believe one way, which leads us back to freedom. We all want freedom to explore and to see and to be. Being incarcerated in jail for a political thought or because of a crime you committed, we learn a lot of lessons from that. There was one gentleman in America who was incarcerated in jail and who studied birds and became an expert in the activities of a certain type of bird that would come to his jail cell window. And he, over the years, wrote many volumes of books on the activities of this particular bird, on what it could sing and do. And he became enlightened, I'm going to say, because he learned to know about what the bird is doing and how it sings. And it cheered his heart. It made the time that he spent in jail more easily accepted, so that when he finally passed from this earth, he had an awareness, a knowledge and awareness of life that wasn't human. That is a very important thing. We come across many animals on our planet. Some are fierce, have fangs and claws. Some are soft and gentle. Little field mice that run and scurry about and live in the little holes in the ground. How about a big cow or an elephant or a giraffe? Watching a giraffe walk gives one an experience of height and movement. To see them eat the leaves off of very tall trees is really amazing. To see a giraffe get a drink of water sometimes it's humorous, because it's such a tall animal, it has to bend down very low, which makes it easy prey for maybe a lion or something. So it has to be very careful. It cannot just be unaware of what it's doing in order to survive its life. Lions are very, very, very fierce creatures. They have a roar that you can feel that makes you very aware of its presence. And if it's not a tame lion, it's a wild lion, it may look upon you as lunch. Oh, that's a nice tasty tidbit for me to eat. As we live on our planet, and especially now in this most modern age where we have unlimited electronics that don't work, like right now, or can be easily interrupted by, say, a force that is bent, very strongly bent on not having us know knowledge, know things, hear other people's thoughts, what's going on. When Duane speaks about the all is, we are able to see through his eyes another dimension, a part of life that is most precious. It is an opportunity given to us from the all is because Duane stepped up. He volunteered to share the information he had come into to others so that their lives can be better and have a benefit and that we can see more. To see more is one of the most wonderful opportunities, in my opinion, that gives us our life meaning and brings us to a point of awareness. Become aware of the all is. What an opportunity not to be missed in this lifetime. And yet, in many particular religions or philosophies, people believe, yes, we have come here before. We have had heard experiences of people who say, I remember my last lifetime on the planet Earth, or I remember a lifetime. I was a fisherman in one lifetime, or I was a street worker, or I was a political figure. Every opportunity to see parts of ourselves that we are not recognizing gives us openings of freedom. We are learning how to conduct our lives and seek benefit for ourselves. Each of us individually can explore the all is, can see the all is, can become aware of the all is. And you say, what is it? Well, it's nothing. What do you mean it's nothing? It's nothing. You can't hold it or see it or feel it or eat it. What you can see, hold, feel, and eat things. That's part of being all is. It's life. The all is life. Life in its most precious moments, the birth of a baby, the death of a family member, the feelings that we go through. Sometimes we're given enlightenments that help us move through life more easily and gently and have time to give us time to consider our planet and what we're doing on it. As we really live our lives, we have an opportunity to follow certain paths, many different religions, many different political thoughts and philosophies. Each one is an example of what life is and what life shouldn't be. So freedom and sharing with your fellow man or woman or child is an opportunity precious and not to be missed and not to be abandoned. Is there anyone else you'd like to speak and offer a point as we move along in this wonderful adventure of not communicating with India today, even though their lines of electronics are working? Some are not working, and they're being prevented from working. This is a wonderful viewpoint of life for us to observe at this very moment. We all came here to hear what Mr. Nog is going to tell us about his experience of the all is. He's going to share with what he's learned in India. It just happens to be the same thing that we're learning from Duane in America. And who knows what other countries are available. The Aborigines in Australia and New Zealand, indigenous tribes in South Africa, each one has an opportunity to present information that they have learned by living their life. Some tribes have painted pictures of the past on the walls of caves. What a wonderful experience to see cave paintings. These are people that lived a long time ago. And when we see with the geologists and archaeologists uncovering the bones of elephants or tigers that lived in the prehistoric age, they give us information. They had to have certain physical appendages on their body to get about. As we, our scientists study our cells and how they change over time and what they experience from heat or stress or food that's not natural, it changes you. It makes you different, and you have different thoughts. So I'll check again. If anybody wants to say anything, please speak up.
Well, thank you, Claudia. That was absolutely wonderful. It's Bob again. I just talked to Nag, and he called me on Skype, and I told him to check the messages that Henry sent, and he's going to check it and then try again. He did everything except click on the link, so that's maybe we'll still get an hour from him if he's able to come through. Well, anyway, I came across a very interesting quote in a book. Actually, it was in David Icke's book, and it was, "Knowledge comes from study, but wisdom comes from observation." And observation, that was the end of the quote. And I thought that was very interesting. And the secret of seeing the all is, or becoming in tune with all life, has to do with awareness. Awareness is observation. That's what observation is all about, being aware. And so while we're waiting for Nag to come on, which I think he's actually going to, I think he's actually going to come through. It might be a few more minutes yet. I didn't know anything about Nag until, yesterday, and I understand that he is from India and has had a lot of experiences working with masters and people over there that were kind of off the radar for us over here in America. And Dwayne, you're on. Do you have any insight into exactly how he connected or any of that that we can talk about before he comes on?
In regards to what was that, Bob? The connection?
Yeah, well, I guess there's a bunch of masters that have connected with a new you over there, and they all is, that we didn't know about. Is that correct?
I'm not sure. I haven't investigated everything, but what Nag brought up on the Skype the other day is very interesting. It's a lot of fun to discover that. So again, everybody has their secrets. Don't investigate everything, but things are what they are on the earth, and just like the governments of the world, they're not telling everything, so there are other people that aren't telling a lot of things also, but again, it's, people have the information about these things, but it doesn't mean they have the recognition. There becomes a difference, and so the real guides see who does and who doesn't, or who wants to start this way, etc. So there's so many masters and gurus that profess something, but when you go to the real side, you see really where their awareness and especially their intent is. So that becomes the difference. It's not just because they've studied or know things. And the idea of wisdom and whatever, it's a branch of knowledge. It becomes so, but the reality of the isness life is that's a very special particular to observe and recognize. So, I'm not sure what people are doing all over the world. Again, I mind my own business. So my position is, let's see who shows up as we present this to the world. You see?
We had Nag on here for just a second, and then
we are here.
We just lost him again.
Okay. This was just told to me that we are going to do the call on Skype another day. Somebody had just spoken with him from the office.
Okay.
So he won't be coming on today.
Okay. Well, I don't know too much about the masters over in India, but I did read the book that was called The Life and History of the, what was his name, dear?
Well,
The one that flew in the sky. And
Milarepa.
Milarepa. And it was a very, very interesting, because I believe he was from India, and how he started out trying to learn from all the gurus in India and the different masters, and it was like, I mean, it was literally like pulling teeth to get any information out of the masters about life. I mean, and this particular case, like he had to build a castle, like a wall that was like 30 or 40 feet high, and then he had to build a house and a whole bunch of other things, and he had to go do all these menial labor things to even to gain entrance to sit in the court of these masters' houses, and then when he got to the point of actually making connections, it cost him priceless jewels of money to even get to sit in the presence of these masters. I mean, it was such a huge secret. It was almost like a caste system that if you were a master, you didn't let anybody. And it seemed to me, after reading that book about the history of what he went through, that some of these masters went to their deathbed without even sharing the knowledge that they had. Do you have any, Dwayne, do you have any comments about what I saw in that book?
Well, I didn't read the book, Bob, but again, there's always something more to life than we can see, right? So we're all discovering that. And there's a true reality to life, and it's really very simple, but then again, to recognize it, but, you know, the reason why these individuals did what they did, well, you know, again, it's choice. When the real guides come up and they give us experiences or whatever, they have free will, too. They make that choice. They decide their adventure. And so this is just how it is. So, you know, these individuals, everybody's brought up a particular way, and they do things their own way, however it is for that time. Or they see that people aren't ready. Again, lots of times people use these things for personal gain or personal power to rule over others. So they many times see that with the individual, so they don't give them nothing. It's different with everybody. Today, the master guru idea and all this knowledge and information, it's more of a business is what it is, because it's a business world. And so what we're doing is we're just sharing the reality of what's going on simply because of what's taking place on the earth. The earth is in a huge demise that people are agreeing to unconsciously, and they don't see it. And so this is why this is brought out at this time, to give people this advantage to wake up, or they'll be going into future lives, which are a lot worse. So whatever's going on over there with others, if they want their secrets, that's fine. So the real guides are providing, you know, this knowledge, this reference to the true reality right now. This is what I was shown to present, because I could see it for what it was at the time, and then surpass what I had been through also to get ready for this. So this new nowness of the all is not easily understood. It's very simple, but at the same time, it takes a lot of reference, a lot of knowledge, to get the basic idea, to have comparisons, because we've all been brought up in creation, and creation is huge. But we need creation to go through this process to eventually compare and recognize what is real and recognize what isn't real, from creation into the real universes. So this is a big step for people, but it's at a time when they can decide to, you know, take the risk and see what we're sharing, or just continue on with what they've been doing, and things will be the same, and they'll just grow old and forget they were here. So it's a choice. We're providing that cool
opportunity, but it's a big step. It'll take you the rest of your life or maybe into lifetimes. But once you focus on the real guidance and just pay attention more so than just your personal life, well, then things happen for the better. It's a real benefit overall, as opposed to being limited and unaware and just keep going through embodiments. So everybody has the choice. So we provide the real opportunity now.
Well, that's what I find so wonderful is that, I mean, you're freely offering it. You're giving all this information that people are searching for, and it's freely available. All people have to do is just tune in and go with it. And
Hello?
Sandy and I are sharing this as much as we can in the physical with people, and we do find that there's a lot of people that are really accepting what we're saying. We're handing out books, cards, new you cards that we're doing, and there's a lot of people that are really searching for the truth, and then there's the other people that you interested in learning more about life? Nope, I got it all figured out. I don't want to hear one word that you have to say. So, but the opportunity is just so magnanimous compared to at least like the caste system in India where everything's a secret, and I don't know why that they want to keep it a secret from everybody. Well, is there anybody else that wants to add anything? Any more commentary?
Hi, this is Tim in Oregon. I was just thinking about what Claudia was mentioning about switching over to electric cars rather than the fossil fuel cars. And there, too, in this science stuff, if you get millions of these electric cars, I think they have battery. Now you've got millions of old batteries to deal with environmentally, too. The materials in the batteries that wear out. So we have to be careful even when we think something is a better thing to use. It's like it's all in this scientific stuff, but that doesn't seem to, it's just a change. And then we find out, oh, this it wasn't a good idea after all, unless it was something that was already known, like Tesla being able to use magnetism and copper metal to make a coil and produce an energy that doesn't seem to have environmental effects.
You know, I just heard an interesting comment when they down south when they grew the corn for the alcohol additive to put into gasoline to save on the making of gasoline and fossil fuels. They destroyed many, many square miles of the bayous and the Gulf of Mexico were totally polluted. The fish died, and it was just a horrible ecological disaster that was the result of making the alcohol to add that 10% that they add to gasoline. That is one of the biggest fiascos out there. And by the way, it took like 5 gallons of gasoline to make 1 gallon of gasohol, so of that alcohol. So what's wrong with that picture? You know, where's the logic in all that? That's another case of, does it make sense? No, it doesn't. There is one thing I could comment about the electric cars, however, is when I met that gentleman that ran that that institute in Kiev, where he was doing all the real advanced science, there are two things that he developed in his research lab over there, and one was solar panels
And now this was from 1990. They were actually manufacturing these for governments. In 1990, they were manufacturing solar panels that would put out 3,000 watts of power even on a dark, moonless night. So they would work day and night in 1 square meter. You know, just take a yardstick by a yardstick. 1 square meter would put out 3,000 watts. That's equivalent to 3 horsepower. And a lot of these smaller cars, I mean, even ramped up, don't use more than 30 horsepower. So, I mean, you could drive a small car around the country with just a few of these solar panels. The other thing that they invented and developed was they were able to make carbon strings where you could take carbon atoms and connect them so that it was like a thread, kind of like a spider's web string. They could take individual carbon atoms and string them like a single thread. And once they developed that technology, they were able to weave these carbon patterns and make what is called an electric capacitor. I don't know if anybody knows what a capacitor is, but a capacitor is an electronic device for storing electrical energy. And one of the things that they developed was one capacitor that was the size of a cigarette pack. You know how small a cigarette pack is, like a pack of Winston's? A capacitor that size could hold 1 farad of electrical capacity. Now, for 1 farad, for anybody that doesn't know how much a farad would be the electrical capacity to store energy the size of a football field. If you had 2 plates the size of a football field, you know, put about a quarter or half an inch apart, and a dielectric of air or some other dielectric in between those 2 plates. That's how much capacity 1 farad of energy storage is. And that was just one of the things they developed. Now, my thinking is down the road, if you would use solar panels, which have no pollution, once they're developed, there might be a little bit of pollution in the manufacturing process. And then instead of using all these different fancy batteries like the Tesla battery, which is only good for about 10 years, I understand, use capacitors to store the energy. And just as an idea, in 1990, I don't know if any of you guys had a cell phone. Remember those Motorola cell phones that you would carry around that were about the size of a brick? They'd weigh about 2 pounds, and they had an antenna. And then on the back, it had a sliding battery pack, and that... they had 2 different sizes of battery packs. One was like a quarter inch, and the other one was like an inch thick. The heavy duty battery pack on those phones would allow you to talk for like 4 or 6 hours. Now, just to give you an idea of the capacity of one of these farad capacitors for storing energy, they could make the battery alternatives. And they were actually manufacturing these in 1990, that if you had your Motorola phone that would only work for 4 to 6 hours on one of those battery charges, their capacitive electrical storage would run one of those telephones you could talk 24/7 for 20 years before you had to recharge it. Now, if you apply that technology to automobiles and cars and that sort of thing, you have solar panels, you charge up your capacitors, there's no pollution, they're reusable basically for life, forever, and you just have to recharge them every 10 or 20 years or whatever. Now, if you're using as much energy as an automobile, you know, you might have to charge it once a month or something like that. That's how much energy these things can store. So I just... thought that was kind of interesting technology that hoped to see down the road. Of course, it hasn't made it to the public arena yet, but the military uses it. They use it on all their space satellites and all that kind of technology. So there's stuff out there that would that we could use that would really save the planet from the fossil fuel end of things?
You were mentioning the military uses their nose of that stuff. That's all this science stuff seems to lead to. It's the powers that be, even though we think these are beneficial things for the Earth, just like in Atlantean times when they developed their science, and whether they put up a giant magnifying glass in space and aim the beam wherever they wanted, they had all the energy from the sun free, but anywhere they could aim that beam was a death ray and it would disintegrate.
Yep, that was the James Bond movie with Roger Moore on that island. Yep, they made a movie out of that with James Bond.
Yeah, that's what I see, is this science all leads to the powers that be getting their hands on it to just control the human slaves with more power.
Well, it
all
seems
these material things.
Yep, it's the only way they want to spend money on technology is how to control people and keep them, you know, under their thumb. You're absolutely right. I agree with that. You know, when are they going to come up things for public use?
Yeah, even like this atomic energy. Now, right now, we're hearing that Pakistan and India are having their violent attitude, and they have their atomic weapons, and if they fire them off, then the rest of the world is affected by their scientific technology and those that are in control of those powers, because that's all it takes to poison all the air so that just about all the living things on Earth don't get to be in this psych realm anymore.
Yeah, I have a question for you. You know about the directed energy weapons they used on the World Trade Center? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I've seen information about that and the fires in Northern California. And it's
my question is, you know, even though they're using that directed energy weapons for bad things, you would think that technology could also be used to, if somebody launched a nuclear missile at the United States, that they could use that technology to disintegrate the atomic missile into just dust before it could do any damage or explode. And also, another use for that directed energy technology is, you know, how they could take houses and big buildings with concrete and steel and just reduce it to dust. The other thing they could use it for is to get rid of all the pollution. You know, you've probably seen those special shows where they have buildings the size of a super Walmart just baled up of plastic that they're trying to ship off to China used to accept it and take care of it, but China no longer accepts barge loads or tanker size ships full of that recycled plastic. So a lot of the companies are forcing it on small countries like Vietnam and Laos and those countries, and they're being forced to take these huge, huge, huge quantities of that unusable plastic. But if you went in there with this directed energy weapon and shined it on all that plastic, you could reduce it to dust and get rid of the pollution. If they could get that directed energy to work underwater out in the Pacific Ocean, you could get rid of all that horrible plastic that's destroying the environment in the Pacific Ocean. So, you know, wouldn't it be nice if they would turn that technology and start using it for good?
If there was a way to not deflect those beams and things too, and then you're affecting the living things in the ocean too, by the energy that they're not used to in the water.
But if you could direct it, safely. You know what I'm saying is, if you could safely direct that energy without destroying the water and water life environment. You know, like as an example, what I'm saying is when they use those directed energy weapons on the houses in California, they did absolutely no damage to the green trees. The trees were undamaged. So they do have ability to protect some of the environment when they did it. All the trees and the arboretums around the World Trade Centers when they collapsed, all the trees that were standing next to the buildings were undamaged. So there's a lot more to it. By the way, I learned something interesting this last week about the World Trade Center. They said that the fires were so hot that after the buildings collapsed, the steel beams were still smoldering, and they were burning real hot, and that the workers couldn't get in. Like for weeks after the buildings collapsed, it was so hot that they couldn't put the fires out. There was just fumes coming out of the rubble, and it was so hot that the beams got so hot from the burning fuel fires from the aviation fuel on the airliners that they were red hot, and they were just going to keep burning and burning and burning for weeks after the collapse of the buildings. Well, the truth of the matter is there was no heat, absolutely no heat in the collapsed rubble of the World Trade Center. What it was, this is kind of interesting, is, and I don't understand it, a lot of the mainstream engineers and scientists that have studied the wreckage don't understand it. But what seems to have happened is, since the directed energy beams used a form of molecular disintegration to disintegrate the buildings and turn them to dust, well, what was interesting is all that matter that collapsed, and the matter that collapsed and actually remained in the rubble, a lot of it just blew away in the wind as dust, but the part that actually settled to the ground, the parts of matter that were not completely destroyed, continued to disintegrate for weeks and weeks and weeks after the collapse of the towers. And there was no structural integrity to the matter. Some of the salvage companies tried to reuse some of the steel beams, and as soon as they started to use them, they put them up, it'd be real solid, and then a week later it would lose its structural strength. So a lot of that fuming was simply caused by the material continuing to disintegrate at the atomic and molecular level. So I just thought that was interesting.
It seems like it would be a much more enjoyable planet to live on if there wasn't these scientific technologies at all, to me.
Well, anybody else like to add anything to this? Well, you want, hang on a second.
We're just closing the show.
Okay, well, everybody, since we're kind of running at a dead end here, why don't we all sing New You You, and we'll end the show.
And then we can put you back
on
speaker.
Everybody can do the New You all at once.
Together.
And we'll do it all together, and we'll end the show here. And so in 10 seconds, I'll give you a countdown.
10 seconds.
You can unmute your phones, and we'll all do a New You together, and then we'll call it a day for the show. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for participating in the show. Sorry it didn't come off as planned, but we will try again next week. All right, thank you, everybody, for joining us and helping out.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Claudia. You are wonderful.
Thank you. Bye.
See ya.
All right, bye, everybody.
Okay, we just said bye to everybody, so... if we can pick up this another time, would be great. We'll talk again, maybe at a better hour for you. So we can let